There is a way of thinking that is actually causing people to sabotage the very relationships they want to have. Do you know what that is?
Let's see what the Bible says about that. I'm glad you're here for this one. It's going to be great. If you would, go ahead and like this video, and you can subscribe to our channel. We have podcasts coming out every Wednesday morning at 8 a.m. And if you're listening on Spotify or whatever else it may be, I'm super glad you're tuned in for this. Let's see, what do we got to say about this awesome podcast today?
There you go. Yeah, we were laughing at the fact that we all usually say, this is going to be a good one.
It's going to be a good one. Say it every single time.
That only speaks of the passion we have for this. Like, yes, really, it's exactly true. It's going to be a good one.
Yeah.
They're good every week. So
every week, just about. Also, after we finish recording, I'm like, that was probably my favorite one.
It's true.
So, yeah.
Well, again, it's real. It's relevant. We think today about relationships and what the gospel has to do with that. The gospel is not just for a Sunday church experience. It is for that, but it's also a Monday life experience as well. And so you talk about relationships and heart. It's right at the center of what we're about and what we believe the Bible is about as well. So the book of Proverbs says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Mm-hmm. So in other words, at the core of our being, what we believe, what we think and do there, it spills over into who we are.
Yeah.
So what I believe about who God is, who I am, and how I relate to him and how he relates to me, what I conclude about all of that drives every part of my life.
Yes.
Especially my relationships.
Yeah.
So someone who does not know the fullness of God's love for them, mm-hmm. the peace they have with God, the acceptance they have with him, the fact that they've been made right and righteous, if you don't take that in, then what you end up with is carrying with you a sense of feeling empty, and your thoughts tend to lean dark. Your motivation ends up being selfish. You end up being given more to fear and panic. You walk in rejection and jealousy and comparison. You carry the weight of guilt, and your actions become self-centered.
Yeah.
And you could say, well, that's a lost person. That's someone who doesn't know Jesus. That's true. Sadly, it is often people who have even come to know Jesus. They still walk in some of that.
Yeah, definitely. There's definitely Christians who know and say, and oh, hey, I've been freed from this. And, you know, I'm a believer, I'm a follower, I'm a Jesus follower, all, you know, saying the things and even intellectually knowing who Jesus is, knowing that he is our Savior.
I've been freed from my sin.
Yeah, knowing all of the Bible truths intellectually, but maybe not application-minded, not in experiential knowing.
Yeah.
You know, and that can look, you can see that in their actions. You know, you can intellectually know and say things and not have the experiential application knowledge of the truths of God. And as a result, you have people who are saved and mm-hmm. are believers yet aren't diving into the experiential applicational truths. And so you have people living in their old ways while professing being a follower as well.
Yeah. And so, in effect, what they do is they're walking in faith, but they still walk with an emptiness. Mm-hmm. We're invited to be filled and to be full and to overflow, but for whatever reason, maybe they have not matured to that, or maybe there's some things that have happened along the way that have kept them from walking in that. And so they're walking in a practical emptiness instead of a practical fullness.
Yeah.
And so I think it would be fair, as we're going to discuss today, you could call that a scarcity mindset.
Yeah.
They are operating from a platform, a foundation of emptiness rather than a platform of fullness. And so that's scarcity thinking. Now, normally you hear that phrase in regards to finances or possessions or future thinking, and someone who is operating from a scarcity mindset, they're usually focused on what they don't have. They look around and they assess and they say, I don't have enough stuff. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough fill in the blank. And so they walk sad and discouraged. They walk frustrated. They if it goes on for very long, they start looking at other people's stuff and think, well, how come I don't have what they have? I have scarcity. They seem to have an abundance. Mm-hmm. And it makes people move into a victim mentality ultimately. Yeah, if you follow it long enough, I'm the victim. I've been mistreated. Mm-hmm. I don't have, you do have. Exactly. I deserve to have what you have.
Yeah.
Why don't you give me what you have? It's wrong that you have it. I don't have. That's all victim mentality. And it starts from a scarcity mindset. I don't have enough. So this is where you start. We're going to make a bridge today because this is where some people find the basis for their relationships out of a scarcity mindset.
Definitely.
So you bring that whole idea over into relationships and you start approaching the people around you from a place of emptiness within you. And you look to the people around you to be the ones to fill that emptiness in you.
Yeah.
So this is scarcity mindset.
Definitely. And so this passage that we're going to be talking about comes from John chapter 7, verses 37, 38. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." So not just a little bit of some life coming forward, but rivers in abundance of living water would flow out of him and towards others.
Yeah. I love the fact that what Jesus said, he recognizes if anyone thirsts, if anybody is in a scarcity place, which we all are, it's how we come into the world. It's how we live. If we've been through some hurts and experiences, which we all have in some way at some time, you are in a place of thirst. There's a place of need. I need something. I desire something. I need it. And Jesus says, if you have that, even in your relationships, come to me. And I want you to drink in. Because if you believe in me, out of you, out of your heart, the core of who you are, will come rivers. It'll flow rivers. So out of where there was nothing would all of a sudden come a whole lot of something. No more scarcity, but you actually have abundance. But this is not, I'm afraid this is not where a lot of people, a lot of Christians even, definitely, operate from.
Yeah.
Instead, they find themselves in a place where they want to live out their faith. They want to have good relationships. But because they've got a scarcity mindset, it's wrecking their relationships. And they've got conflict, and they've got frustrations, and they're sad, and they're discouraged, or they're depressed, or they're isolated, and they don't know why.
Yeah.
And it's sad because there's a connection here. And I think it comes down to this scarcity mindset. It comes down to approaching people and life from the idea of, I am actually empty on the inside. Yeah. I don't have enough.
Yeah, which totally contrasts, like in the Psalms, where it talks about my cup overflows.
You it's know, true.
Like I have been filled, and so now I will now pour onto others. You know, and again, the idea of I have rivers flowing with living water coming out of me to others. You know, and not just for my own self, or like, oh, I have a lot of fullness in me, but I have so much fullness in me that it's going to go out onto other people.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think the question for all of us then today is how do I know if I am walking in the scarcity mindset and you know, what's so bad about it, basically, you know?
Yeah. And I think as we're going to discover today is that a lot of people are doing this and don't know it. Mm-hmm. And even among in the Christian community, some of these are going to sound somewhat right, but they're damning is what they are.
Yeah.
They are blocking a flow from leaving you and they're causing frustration within you. So,
And the modern lingo would be, this is what toxic relationships look like.
Yes. That's the term.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we could fairly ask the question today, am I the one that's toxic in the relationships?
Yeah,
that's exactly the self-evaluation here we're going towards. So
definitely.
So what we're talking about today, again, just want to set the table straight here, is that we're talking about any relationship. This could be friendships that you have. It definitely will apply in marriage as well, parenting, family relationships, extended family relationships, coworkers.
Yeah. That's what I was gonna
church,
say.
Church members, community, your neighbor next door, anybody that you can have a relationship with, you have to at least consider, am I working and walking out of scarcity or out of an abundance?
I'll also add in the relationship to God.
Yes.
In there as well.
Oh man, that's a whole other.
Yes, exactly. It really is what the whole source of all of this is, but because you'll see in your relationship with others how you actually view your relationship with God.
Yep.
But you know, whenever they're, well, we'll get into it.
Yeah, we will. Yeah. So basically, are you operating from an empty cup or a full cup? So here are some ways that you can know and assess: Am I walking in a scarcity mindset? Is my cup empty and I don't even realize it? Here's some things that will be true. If you have a scarcity mindset toward your relationship, number one, you will think often about what you expect and need out of a relationship. Yeah. So again, put it in whichever context you want. Marriage, here's what I think I really need from my husband, wife. I really need them to do this for me. Mm-hmm. I need this from you. I need this. And that becomes what you often think about.
Yeah.
Not that there's not a healthy time to have conversations, but I'm talking about the point where you are
constantly
thinking about what you need from them.
Yeah. And I think the key words in this first point is what do I need out of the relationship?
Yes.
Like out of them, I'm in lack and they have it.
Yes. Again, so we would couch this in scarcity, which means if I am focused on I need this from you, then I'm the one who's in the deficit.
Yeah.
You have it, I need it, and I'm dependent and expectant on you to give it to me.
Yeah.
So that's a lot to put into a relationship. That's that's not healthy. Mm-hmm. If all of a sudden I have placed all of my emotional health, all of my past hurts, all of my needs, all of my longings, if I am all of a sudden attaching the lifeline to you and saying, I don't have it and you do, and I need you to get that to me, this is scarcity thinking. I don't have it. And that is not a healthy way to build a relationship out of I don't have it.
Yep.
We'll just kind of set the model straight here as well. The goal is for God to be the one who gives it to us, and then the river comes out of us to someone else. Definitely. Not, I dig a trench from your heart to my heart and expect it to flow out to me.
Yeah.
So
I think some other things, like just to put more words to it, some things that you might expect someone to be giving you that you may not feel, you know, that could come in the sense of like, I'm expecting you to do something for me that I feel like you need to do for me. Right. You know, there's a need in that. Mm-hmm. Or I'm expecting you to say something to me in order to make me feel like you care, you know, and I need your word. I need your words out of you to fill me. And I can't be complete until you do that for me, you know?
Yeah. Again, there's a place for some of this, definitely, in a relationship. I do enough counseling with couples, families, friendships, relationships to know that there's a place to understand needs and speak life to one another. That's important. But the minute there is this fixation on an expectation of the other person meeting my gaps and my deficits, that's unhealthy.
Definitely.
That's putting me in the scarcity mindset instead of in the abundance mindset, and it creates a drain on the relationship. All right, number two, I think what a way you can know is this: if you become focused on what they are not doing enough of in the relationship, I think that's the second piece. Once you start thinking about what you need, then you start looking pretty quickly. You'll find they're not doing enough to meet that.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I think it's like a matter of also like I provide this, so you should be providing this, and we will fit together like a perfect puzzle piece. Mm. And then whenever that happens, then we'll be complete. But we won't be complete until you do for me. And I don't know if I'll give until you do for me, you know, if that happens right there. And then, you know, it's like, it sounds nice and romantic to say like, oh, you complete me, which there are aspects of like, yes, there is fullness of life when you're together and you're working in the same, on the same page and all that stuff. But if it's like, I need you to complete me. And if you fall short, I'm incomplete and it's your fault. Then there's this like awkward expectation and need for the other person to fulfill you.
Yes.
That they can't and honestly will not ever fill.
Right.
You know,
right.
They will, you know, bring you joy and happiness and show love and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But it will not quench a thirst that's in you. You
right.
know, it can't. And so we have to understand that.
Yeah. You know? So you pick up some marriage books that have been written over the years that kind of feed on this. You have books like His Needs, Her Needs, or Love and Respect. They're built on this idea that he has a set of needs and she has a set of needs. She longs to be loved and he longs to be respected. That's the two concepts behind those two books. And if you're not careful, what you'll start doing in that is focusing on what they are not doing enough of in the relationship. And the minute that happens, you're not leading toward health, because all it does is fuel your frustrations and expectations and creates more conflict in the midst.
Which, not saying that those books are inherently wrong, because there are aspects of that. Like, obviously, they're writing it in the sense of, yes, women, you know, appreciate love in a tender way, and men appreciate respect in a like gratifying way, in a sense.
Right.
But to just focus on that is what will complete me.
Yeah. There are some dynamics to those, I will say, based on male and female expectations that are, as you've kind of come through 90s purity culture, there probably are some things that are wrong in those books, but that's not what our purpose is today.
Exactly.
But if it fuels this idea of expectation based on my deficit, I don't have it, I expect you to meet it, and I'm going to focus on what you're not doing enough of, that is not a relationship help.
No,
that's a relationship wreck.
Exactly. Because it operates from a lack.
Yes.
It does not operate from abundance.
Yep.
It is operating in the sense of, I need you to do for me.
Yep. That's not a river coming out of me.
No, exactly.
The third thing that fits with this and is the next logical step is you'll keep a mental checklist of all the good things that you bring to the relationship.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's
just
a natural piece.
Yeah, exactly.
You start thinking about, well, don't they know that I do this for them? Certainly the last few times I did this and this and this, I hope they know that.
Yeah.
You know, you start having that inner dialogue. And there's something about it that feels right, but I'm telling you, it will wreck your relationship.
Yeah.
Whether it's your parenting or your marriage or friendship or a family member, if you start keeping a mental checklist of all the good things you have done, you're just building up your pride and you're setting yourself up for failure.
Yeah, exactly. It will only further, it comes because of the scarcity mindset of I don't have, look at what I have done. And I'm already in scarcity, and I'm going even more in scarcity, and you're not fulfilling me.
Yes.
You're not even setting me back to normal, you
Correct.
Know, but I'm still in the deficit.
Yes. And then the next logical step that follows that is you start keeping a mental checklist of the things they have not done enough of.
Yeah.
So you've got this list on your side of all things you do, but then you've got this list on the other side of all things they haven't done.
Yeah.
And man, that makes for a great argument recipe.
Yeah.
Especially when you take two people coming at that thing together.
Yeah. See ya.
It's a recipe for disaster.
Yeah.
And again, you're operating from scarcity and lack and deficit and the expectation of the other person to fulfill all of that. You're going to start keeping those lists, and it's only going to lead to more conflict. The wreck is going to happen.
Yeah. This is the time where it is not true that two negatives make a positive. That is not the case for this one.
No.
It is two negatives make a terrible, tragic argument.
That's right. So the next thing that happens is, or the next way you'll know that you're operating off of a deficit or
scarcity
thinking is you find it a real task, hard task, to be able to express gratitude or appreciation in the relationship.
Yeah.
In fact, it doesn't even come to you much.
Mm-hmm.
If it does, it's because someone has suggested you ought to, and you really don't want to, but you feel like you really are obligated to, so you try to force yourself to do it. If that's what's happening in the relationship, you're operating out of scarcity. Because it's hard to ever be grateful if all the time you're focused on what you are doing that's right and what they're doing that's wrong.
Yeah.
You'll always be in this place of not being able to be grateful. You'll focus on what they should have done, and they ought to be thanking me that I'm so you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you'll be focused on what they've not done enough of. And so how can you ever thank someone when you think they haven't done enough for you to begin with?
Yeah.
Then you start having this inner dialogue that says, well, they don't blank, fill in the blank for me enough. And I always fill in the blank a lot for them.
Yeah. The two most tragic things, the permanent statements, you know, I always, they never.
It's true. And that will not fuel gratitude, creativity, desire,
unity.
It'll suck those off of the table.
Yes.
You won't have any, and you'll find it hard to do that.
Yeah.
And you'll have to force yourself if you ever even want to.
Yeah. Which also probably, if you're forcing yourself to express gratitude, it's probably not gratitude. You know, it's probably just don't even say the words. Just wait until your heart's in the right place. Then you can express gratitude.
Yeah.
Because again, like, to express gratitude is so crucial in relationships, and it's it is what continues to stoke a fire of unity. You
That's
know,
true.
Is to say, hey, I appreciate what you're doing.
Yep.
Not even because of what I'm doing, but just literally because you're doing it. You know?
Or, I'm so grateful for you. I'm
grateful
for our time together. Yes. I love our time. I love the fact that we went out today or whatever, you know, all those things.
Not like finally we went out today. You remember the last 2 months I've been doing all this stuff for you? It's like, the worst.
Well, I hope you're happy now we finally went out.
Yeah, exactly. It's like that's
no good.
That's both operating scarcity mindset.
Exactly. So here's what will happen next is you will consciously / unconsciously begin to pull back in the relationship. You will start withholding. You will be hesitant. Mm-hmm. You won't express your heart. You'll be fearful. You'll keep a watch instead of investing.
Yeah.
You'll keep making sure you don't do more than they have done for you. You'll keep instead of sacrifice. You'll wait to be loved instead of actively loving them. There there won't be the ability in your mind to give even when it's not being given to you.
Yeah, it will be a constant caution sign up all the time because you don't want to go too much further into the scarcity living. You're afraid of what that might cause in you. Mm-hmm. You're afraid of, oh, I've been hurt here before. I could never do this again, you know? And so it will cause that. And again, if in relationships, unity is key and gratitude is key and, you know, all the mentality of like, I have your back. That's key in relationships. And all of these things, hesitancy, fearful, and, you know, being watching instead of investing, like none of those are promoting any healthy relational growth.
It's true. So here's what will happen next is you'll begin to struggle with fears about the relationship. Mm-hmm. This head game will take the next chapter in the book and you'll start having questions like, is this relationship going to last? I wonder if this is how this is going to end because they don't seem as interested and they're not doing this for me. And now all of a sudden I don't feel like doing anything for them, and which is, it's creating this dangerous cycle all of a sudden.
Yep.
And then you start being insecure about the relationship because you're operating from deficit. You're always uncertain, insecure. You worry about the relationship. Yeah. Do they even like me? Do they love me? How come they don't come around? How come they didn't say this? How come they didn't do that? Mm-hmm. And your desperation is growing at this point.
And instability growing.
Yes. And so then you even start being suspicious about them, suspicious about their time, suspicious about their motives, suspicious about their words, suspicious about their activities. What are they doing? Where are they going? Who are you talking to? All of that comes out of the scarcity mindset. It grew out of that. It started down there so small, but because it has not been filled, it has grown to this point now. That's a dangerous place.
Yeah.
And I think everybody can feel the emotion of that moment and know what that's like. So again, you consciously pull back, you struggle with fears about the relationship. And then you get to this place where your feelings are so sensitive at this point that you're easily offended and hurt in the relationship. It doesn't take much because you're in a scarcity mindset anyway. Your nerves, your relational nerves are exposed and all the hurts from the past are still right there in the forefront, and they almost play like a relational PTSD. They just keep spinning over and over again. And anytime it even sounds like it used to before, feels like it used to before, you swing right back into that spot and you get easily hurt, easily wounded, easily all of a sudden deeply hurt. And you prefer to just pull away. You have pulled away completely now at this point. You've isolated, withdrawn, not opening up, not sharing, not giving, not investing, not pouring. There's no river coming out. You needed a few drops coming in, and they could never give it, and now you're desperate for it. Which leads to a place where the relationship becomes more duty and obligation. Now we're to the point where the feelings have gone. The desire has really left. There's not much delight, but you keep doing it because you know you're supposed to. And this is the sad place that many, even Christian marriages reach. Where they don't want a divorce because that's too much. But they choose to just stay in it. It's empty. It's painful. It's dry. There's no life in it, but they just stay in it. That's one option. Or someone just says, I'm done here. I'm moving on. And they leave. And then there is a break. Then there is more pain. And sadly, unless they find the way to get the river ignited within them, they'll move on to someone else. And with their need, with their emptiness, they'll go looking for someone else to fill that need, and they'll find themselves scarcity again and causing more troubles.
And that's the thing. It's like, again, like a lot of people see that part. Oh, the relationship becomes duty and obligation instead of a delight. And people are like, I can't believe that happened overnight. It's like, no, it's not. That's not one small thing that happened that led them there. That's a, that's the way in which people have perceived their life is that they are in lack and that there's an obligation from someone else that is not being filled in them. And it has led all the way to this place of, I have to do in order, you know, just to keep, people happy with me or keep my, a view up of what people, how people perceive me or whatever, you know?
And again, it's that place of thirst. I have great relational thirst. I have a need. I have a scarcity. I have to have something that Jesus is, well, come to me with that. I can feel that in you. I can feel that. I can feel that not even through your child, family member, spouse. I can feel that. Jesus didn't say, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and I'll turn around and use the people in your life to fill you up.
Yeah, it's not like, come to me, then you'll get married and then you'll be happy then, no. That is not, getting married is not the answer to this mentality. Having better friends is not the answer to this mentality.
You're right.
You know, going and moving is not the answer to this mentality.
Correct.
Even though it seems like all of those things would be, oh, this is the direction I need to go.
To a different church is not the answer to this mentality.
Unless you want to come to Vertical. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. No, it's not. It's not.
It's not. If the scarcity is in you, then
it don't matter.
Moving around isn't going to fix it. You're just going to try to hook up your hose to someone else with your scarcity. And that's sad. Jesus came for this purpose. There are two things that Jesus elevated as the greatest commandments. So we could also look at that and say, these are the things that the two greatest things he came to accomplish in us as he came to fulfill the law. So he came to do in us what we could not do on our own. Love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. So through his life and death and resurrection, and then us receiving his death and resurrection by faith, then we get to have peace with him. Yeah. It allows our hearts to come alive and truly do that, to love him mm-hmm. with all of our heart, soul, mind, strength. That's what he came to accomplish. But the mm-hmm. second thing he said, so the second most important thing he came to do was help us love our neighbor as ourself. As you have experienced love and know your
yeah.
worth and value in Christ, then out of that, now you can love anybody, whoever, so your good. Neighbor, who's yep. my neighbor, whoever's right in front of you.
Yep, exactly.
Your spouse, your child, your family, your coworker, mm-hmm. your church member, friend, your family, whoever it might be.
Yes.
This is why he came.
Yes. And again, like that idea of having peace with God is that's what fills you. That's what brings you to a point of being full and so full that you're overflowing and that it goes to your neighbor, you yeah. know, and that you are sharing that you have peace with God, the creator, the author of life. You have peace with him.
Yes.
And that the next person can experience peace and have it be their possession of peace with him through Jesus, you know, yeah. not because of the things you can do, but through Jesus. And so that overflows and that changes, you know, it changes your relationships in every regard.
Yes. I experienced the relief of no more guilt in my life, no more carrying condemnation. So if I'm freed from that, guess what? I don't have to do in my relationships, guilt and condemn people
yeah.
because they're so not good. Doing enough for me.
Yeah.
So now I'm full in him. I have peace with him. I know how deeply I'm loved. Because I know how deeply I'm loved, I don't have to look to someone else to fulfill my love tank.
Yep, exactly. Yep. And I know how much I've been forgiven. I can forgive someone else now when yes. they wrong me.
Yes.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I'll forgive them and I'll be more full. I'll be full still by God.
Yes.
I don't have to dispense my forgiveness in little tiny drops, you know, but I can let a river of living water flow from me of forgiveness to others.
Yeah. Yeah. So, the Bible, I think, describes this in so many different places. In 1 John, we find it again. Beloved, let us love one another. In other words, out of overflow, let us sacrifice, give, and serve one another. For love is of God. Mm-hmm. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. If you've got a river coming out of you, it's because you got it from him. He yep. who does not love does not know God or God's love, because God is love. Now, I don't think you can say, well, if you're not loving other people, you're not even a Christian.
No.
But I think you can say, if you're having difficulty loving other people, then it could be that you're not understanding the depth of how much you're loved.
Yeah. Again, I think this goes back to the intellectual knowing and yeah. the applicational experiential knowing of God, you mm-hmm. know, like, okay, yeah, you can intellectually understand the concept of forgiveness and love and redemption and savior and all this kind of stuff, you know, creator, author, all the,
right.
all of the attributes of God. You can intellectually know that, but unless you are experientially living that, they're like the author here saying, you don't experientially know God. You might get the ins and outs of the theological points, but you don't know in the sense of an intimate relationship, know God. And that's the point here.
Yeah. So I'm going to try something here. I think if you took the word love here and replaced it with overflow, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
love, genuine love, is an mm-hmm. overflow of what's in our heart. It would read mm-hmm. like this: Beloved, let us overflow to one another.
Yeah.
For overflow is of God, and everyone who overflows is born of God and knows
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
He who does not overflow does not know God, for God is overflow.
Yes.
Yep. In this, the overflow of God was manifested toward us,
so
that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live or even overflow through him.
So good. So good.
Wow. That's yep. what God did. He overflowed yes. to us out of who he was. He yes. wasn't in heaven saying, oh, I just have this great need to be loved yeah, by people.
Exactly.
Oh, I'm just hurting.
I'm in scarcity.
I'm alone. I need someone to yeah. love me out here.
Nope.
He was not in scarcity.
No.
He was in overflow, abundance.
He's in abundance, yeah.
Overflowing abundance, so endless overabundance.
Yeah.
And this is what he gives to us. And for everyone who will receive and believe what he has done and who he is, that will happen. You will not have to operate out of scarcity in your relationship, but you can actually operate out of overflowing abundance.
Yeah.
So
good.
So that brings us to the end of this podcast, but I want to encourage you to listen next week because we're going to talk about how do you then live out this abundance mindset in relationships? Because it will revolutionize your relationship. It'll change your marriage. It'll change your parenting format. It'll change your relationship with your family members and your neighbor and church members. You won't have to be the one who is nagging and complaining and upset and frustrated and sorrowful and sad and isolated and withdrawn. Those are not what you've been called to in Christ. That's not what you've been made for. Yep. That's not you at all.
Yep.
So why would we let the enemy have anything like that in our life? So I'm glad you're with us today.
Yeah.
We're passionate for believers to understand the power of the gospel and how to live it out in their lives. We're passionate for unbelievers to come to know this Jesus who can fill and overflow from your life, make you a river where you have been an empty cup. So listen to more of the podcast, share it. If you're not a subscriber, subscribe and pass it along to friends and then come see us in person at Vertical Church Oakville. See what God's doing here. The overflow is happening. It shows up and it's good. So we're going to keep lifting him up and living him out.